From the WGXC newsroom, this is The Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, October the 28th to Sunday, October the 30th. I'm Philip Graham. Katie Kosajanski is reporting in the Register Star that Hudson residents will vote on whether the city's weighted vote system should be eliminated on Tuesday, November the 8th. The group Fair and Equal is spearheading the effort, which will cause the boundaries of the city's 5 wards to be redrawn, making them virtually equal in population. Each of Hudson's 5 wards is represented by 2 aldermen on the Hudson Common Council. At its July 19th meeting, the council rejected the revised ward boundary map. Former Common Council President and current 3rd Ward Supervisor Don Moore supports the change. Moore said, and I quote, "I firmly believe the city would be better served if each alderman on the Common Council had 1 equal vote, end quote. A similar proposition put forward in 2003 was defeated by 68 votes. Rick Carlin is reporting at Capitol Confidential that 2 Democratic lawmakers have announced their intention to offer legislation that would legalize ballot selfies. The state's existing ban has sparked a lawsuit by 3 Manhattan voters. Assemblymember Linda Rothstein and State Senator Brad Holliman, both of Manhattan, believe the measure could, and I quote, "help combat apathy and low voter turnout," end quote. The prohibition against displaying a marked ballot was instituted decades ago in an effort to deter vote buying. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that the Kinderhook Town Board is considering a request from the residents of Wildflower Road to pave the private road. The road is currently maintained by the residents. If the town board decides to have it paved at the homeowner's expense, the town would then plow and maintain Wildflower Road. Andy Howard, the town attorney, advised the board to send the petition back to the residents so a dollar amount for the paving cost could be added. Howard said the board did not want to present the road residents with a price that was so high it would worry them or so low that it would not meet the needs of the job. Paul Kirby reported in the Daily Freeman that Cooper Lake, Kingston's main reservoir, is 70% full, a loss of 5% since October the 13th, according to the city water department. The average for this time of year is roughly 85%. City Water Superintendent Judith Hansen said the reservoir currently contains about 840 million gallons of water. Its maximum capacity is 1.2 billion gallons. The information comes just 2 weeks after the city issued a drought alert, which urged voluntary water conservation. Officials say water users did not heed the call to conserve. Hansen said, and I quote, "sadly, since declaring the drought alert, demand in the city has increased by 150,000 gallons per day," end quote. If the lake reaches 50% capacity, a drought emergency could be put in place and involve mandatory water use restrictions for all residents and businesses. Roger Hannigan Gilson reported in the Register Star that the Staley B. Keith Social Justice Center and Showing Up for Racial Justice have announced they are working together to launch a program that will provide court advocates for youth navigating the criminal justice system. The Community Justice Advocacy Program would back restorative justice over incarceration or long-term probation. Restorative justice is a policy of rehabilitating offenders through reconciliation with victims and the community. Trained advocates would monitor arrest and court records and interview those charged or incarcerated, as well as members of the community. Brianna Pope, program coordinator for the Staley B. Keith organization, said, and I quote, "We've seen how former advocacy has made a difference, and the benefits of growing stronger as a community are there," end quote. Marie J. French reported at Politico New York that people who once attended school in Newburgh and non-residents who still work in the Orange County city may soon join city residents being tested for chemical contamination from drinking the city's water. Dr. Nathan Graber, director of the State Department of Health Center for Environmental Health, said city residents remain the priority, however. Graver said, and I quote, "We want to try to make sure we get people who have the highest degree of exposure, which in the city of Newburgh is going to be the residents," end quote. Prior to a public meeting on Tuesday, October the 25th, only 300 residents had signed up for blood testing. Graver said approximately 200 more people signed up by the end of the night, and the department has received more inquiries since then. He said if the department hits capacity for the number of blood tests it can conduct, help from federal partners will be sought. Newburgh is a city of 30,000 predominantly black and Hispanic or Latino people, and nearly half of the residents speak a language other than English at home. The city's municipal water supply has tested at twice the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's recommended safety level for PFOS. The chemical has been linked to liver and kidney problems, as well as immune system issues. The health department is also conducting door-to-door outreach in parts of Kingston and the neighboring towns of New Windsor, where residents have private wells. Graves said 32 private wells have been tested in New Windsor to date. Of those, 12 tests detected PFOS or related compounds, but all were below federal health advisory levels. Greg Hudson reported in the Daily Mail that the Greene County Democratic Committee opened a campaign office on Main Street in Catskill this weekend. The office will provide space for congressional candidate Zephyr Teachout and state Senate candidate Sarah Nicoli's campaign staff and volunteers in the final week leading up to the November 8th general election. The location was one of three opened by the Democrats in Greene, Schoharie, and Delaware counties on Saturday, October the 29th. Izzy Goodman, a representative of the Sierra Club, working with the Teach Out campaign, said, and I quote, "I think Greene County and Catskill are incredibly important. Our opponents may have money and television ads, but we're here to meet face-to-face with voters and talk about issues," end quote. The office will be used as a regional base for volunteers doing door-to-door canvassing and for phone banking. The Daily Freeman has a rundown of Halloween curfews in local communities. In Ulster County, Esophis has a 7 p.m. curfew for all ages. Ellenville, 8:30 p.m. on Sunday and Monday for ages 18 and under. Hurley, 7:30 p.m. for ages 15 and under. The City of Kingston, 8 p.m. for ages 15 and under. The Town of Kingston, 8 p.m. for ages 17 and under. Saugerties, the Town and Village, 8 p.m. for ages 17 and under. Shandaken, 9 p.m. for ages 18 and under. In Northern Dutchess County, the Red Hook Town and Village have no curfew. The Town of Rhinebeck has an 8 p.m. curfew for children under 10 unless accompanied by a parent or guardian. 11 p.m. for children ages 17 and under, unless accompanied by a parent or guardian. The Village of Rhinebeck has no curfew. Tivoli has no curfew. In Greene County, the Town of Catskill has a 9 p.m. curfew for ages 16 and under. The Village of Catskill, 8 p.m. for ages 18 and under. The Town of Hunter, 6 p.m. for ages 18 and under. The Village of Hunter, 8 p.m. for ages 21 and under, and Tannerville has a 6 p.m. curfew for ages 17 and under. The WGXC Dead Air 2 Resurrection 2016 Fall Pledge Drive continues. WGXC programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $20,000 to keep WGXC hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service is predicting a partly sunny, then gradually becoming sunny day for today, with a temperature high near 47 degrees. For Monday night, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of 29. Forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 55 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 43. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 65 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 49. The sun rose this morning at 7:28 a.m. and the sun will set at 5:49 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 20 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 31st and last day of October 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.